This, in a sense, is the second half of article number 9. The first half was a survey of Old and New Testament scripture proofs for the Trinity and the unity, that God is one, and yet God is three persons. And so, if you were here last week, we read that. I want to focus on this particular article. Notice what it says at the very beginning. It says, the Father is called our Creator by His power. Now, we understand that all three persons were involved in creation, but the primary focus is that of the Father. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Secondly, our salvation, our redemption was accomplished once and for all through Jesus Christ. His blood was shed once for all. And also notice the focus on the Holy Spirit is the one who puts up with you and me. Again, have you ever stopped and thought about that? Here He is, the Holy Spirit, God, who dwells with you and puts up with you as we all sin all the time. And so we understand that they are three persons. We call this the economical Trinity. What does that mean? It means the way that God reveals Himself in the working of creation, providence, redemption, and all. God has chosen from eternity to communicate and to do things in this order. And so what should we do? We should embrace them as we're taught from the scriptures. We should be careful not to judge God or try to figure things out. Just because our brains can't comprehend the Trinity doesn't mean we reject it. We talked about that last week. If that is who God is, one God, three persons, then we accept it. To do otherwise would be to insult Him, because that's who He is. We don't create God after our own imagination, and that's one of our problems sometimes. Well, my God isn't like that. Well, I'm sorry. That's the God that has revealed Himself in the Bible. Have you ever read the Bible and say, oh, I don't like that? I have. I'm not sure. I'm uncomfortable with that statement. I don't understand that statement. Does that negate it? Does it? No. There's many things in my flesh I don't like about the Bible, but it's true nonetheless, and I'm the one that have to repent from wrong thinking. And so it is with the Trinity. God has revealed Himself that way. And notice that there are others that are mentioned. Can you believe this? In a creed and confession, they're actually pointing out people in by name who actually held error. Why would they do something like that? Oh, Marcion. You know about Marcion? The first arch-heretic of the church? He denied that the Old Testament God is good. He said the Old Testament God is evil. And so he rejected the Old Testament. He rejected the Gospels. He only accepted the letters of Paul as the Bible. He was trying to defend the grace of God and exalt the love of God and the mercy of God. But he was a heretic nonetheless because he rejected the rest of the Bible. What about Arius? Do you know that you have Arians coming to your door, knocking on your door? They have a different name now. They're called Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're Arians. They deny that Jesus Christ is God. They say that Jesus was created. Do you believe that? That Jesus is a creature? That's what they taught. That's what He taught. That was rejected. All of these names, there was a struggle in the early church to try to understand what does the Bible have to say about the Trinity? And they got it wrong. As they struggled, there was reactions that went one extreme to the other. And so what we have, which we should embrace, is a rejoicing that the Holy Spirit is working, has been working for 2,000 years. And we have the fruit of that work in these creeds, the Apostles, the Nicene, the Athanasian. Are they the Word of God? No. Are they based on the Word of God, a summary of the Word of God? Yes. Are they something that are profitable for us? Yes. And so let's embrace and rejoice in. And that's one of the reasons why every week we confess the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, is to remind ourselves the truth of God's Word.